Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to Ananias, "How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias heard this. He fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. The young men carried him, came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the town around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed.
Please leave your Bibles open there as we spend time in God's Word. Let's pray before we get into it. Father God, as we approach your Word this morning, we pray that your Spirit would work in each of us. Lord, quieten our concerns and our worries for the coming week and that of the past week. Help us to hear what you have for us this morning. Lord, encourage our hearts this morning, that we might be encouragers in the body of Christ. Rebuke us for that which you are teaching us this morning, and train us to be more and more like Christ Jesus through your Spirit. And in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a small country town, in a fairly small grocery store, well, the boss was walking past one of the registers when he overheard one of his staff members saying this to a customer: "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look as if we'll be getting some in anytime soon." Horrified by what he just overheard, the owner came rushing over and quickly pulled that staff member aside and said, "Never, never, never say we're out of anything. Say that we've placed an order and that it'll be in next week. Now, he said, now what was she after? At this point, well, the staff member had just been roused on, so had no idea what to say, but after she calmed down, she said, rain. She was after rain. Now, given the kind of year we've had this year, we're not likely to hear a conversation like that around the local grocery store, are we? But in retail and many other businesses, staff are often encouraged to tell customers one thing while the reality is really quite different. I know in my own experience working in the automotive industry, well, it's no different. I once got rebuked by a boss for answering the question, have you been busy, by saying that it's been a little bit quiet. He pulled me aside and said, never ever say that we're quiet. Always, no matter what's going on, tell them that we're busy. The idea is that you don't want your customers to think that you've been a bit slow, because then they'll think, well, maybe there's another business that's doing the job cheaper or better than you are. But if they think you're always busy, if they think that you're a really successful busy business that's never quiet, then they'll think that you're the business to go to. They'll think that you always have plenty of work to do, even if that work is sweeping the floor. Businesses do this all the time. They try and present themselves in a different light to how the reality actually is. And sadly, often Christians, those who profess the name of Christ, those with faith in Jesus, can do the same. Sometimes you'll hear people referring to Christians as hypocrites. The word hypocrite simply means actor, to be an actor, to put on a false facade, to put on a face that is not real. And sadly, Christians, all of us, sometimes act like hypocrites. We sometimes put on a facade to try and look like we are further along in our walk with the Lord, or we are doing better in our relationship with the Lord than we really are. If someone walks up to you and says, how's your walk with the Lord going? Well, we all say, good, good, it's going great. Someone says to you, how regularly are you reading your Bible? How regularly are you sitting down and having a quiet time? We all say, oh, we never miss that. We always do that. And we do this because we don't want anyone to think less of us. We don't want anyone to think that we're struggling. We don't want anyone to think as though we need encouragement. We'd all rather be the ones who are encouraging others. We'd always rather be the ones who are being a witness by our example. But what the verse we're looking at today are showing us is that if we want to be encouragers in the body of Christ, we need to own our weaknesses and drop our facades and be willing to speak about the sins that we struggle with and how we are really going on in our walk with the Lord. If we want to be encouragers in the body of Christ, we need to serve God for his glory and not worry about our own. Because even though we might be able to fool others by our words or our actions, we aren't going to be able to fool God. In the verses we're looking at today, we're given two very striking, contrasting examples. The first we're told about is a man nicknamed Barnabas, whose words and actions, along with the motives of his heart, were an encouragement to the apostles and to everyone in the body of Christ. And then we're told about another man whose name was Ananias. Now, his words and his actions, well, they seem to mirror that of Barnabas, but his motives were very different. But before we're introduced to either of these guys, we're told that all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. What's going on here is nothing more than the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers. They were, as Philippians 2 encourages all believers in every generation to do, not only looking to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. The believers were displaying the evidence or the fruit of the Spirit in their lives by sacrificially loving and caring for each other, particularly those amongst the household of believers. Their strong love for the Lord, their desire to be closer and closer to Him, had weakened the grip that this world had on them. Their love for Christ reduced their love for the things of this world, so much so that they were able to care for each other in ways that they never could have apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. This is what Jesus spoke about in John 13:35, when he said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It was their love in action that was testifying to the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, there were no needy persons among them. Those who had been blessed with earthly wealth, more than they needed, were sharing it with those who were in need. This wasn't required of anyone. This isn't some sort of Christian communism or anything like that. This was the work of the Spirit as people willingly did this for the sake of God's glory. There were many who sold possessions and gave the money to the apostles to give to those in need. One such man was a man named Joseph. But in these verses, Joseph, who's nicknamed Barnabas by the apostles, is put up as an example of the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of these believers. This is radical discipleship. They are radically following Christ, even when it's costly, even when it's costing them their possessions. Barnabas means son of encouragement. We're told that in the passage. And Joseph was nicknamed Barnabas because, well, he was an encouragement to everybody in the body of Christ. His words, his actions, his motives, they were all guided by the Holy Spirit. So he sold his field and gave the money to the apostles, not to seek any kind of honor or glory for himself, but just as an act of worship. In fact, I think, as I was reflecting on these verses, I think he'd be really embarrassed about the fact that he'd been put up as an example, because I don't think that's why Barnabas did this. He would have much rather have given this under the radar. Barnabas was a very godly man led by the Holy Spirit to do these things, but he wasn't a perfect man. This is the same Barnabas that would later have an argument with the Apostle Paul that was so fierce that the two of them would split ways. Barnabas wasn't a perfect man. He was a normal man who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do amazing things for God's glory. But Ananias, on the other hand, well, he is quite a different story. We're told that Ananias was married to Sapphira, and the two of them, well, they'd been counted among the believers. They would have both been believers baptized. They would have both made public declarations of faith. This was the way the people were brought into the early church. But as we'll see in these verses, even though their actions mostly matched their profession of faith, the motives of their hearts tell a very, very different story. Just like Barnabas, this couple had sold property with the intention of giving some of the money to the apostles. Unlike Ananias and Sapphira, they had decided to deceive the apostles and keep some of the money back for themselves. Now, when they sold this property, it was their money to keep. There was nothing wrong with them only giving some of the money. In fact, that would have been a godly thing to do. What Ananias and Sapphira did wrong was that they lied and tried to make out that they were doing the same thing that Barnabas had done, that they had given all of the money. They may have seen the respect and the honor that Barnabas got for giving such a selfless sacrifice. Ananias may have wanted a cool nickname for himself. But what we do know is that they weren't giving this money for God's glory. They weren't giving this money because the Holy Spirit had inspired them to do it. They were giving some of this money so that others would think more highly of them. They were doing the right action. It would have looked the same as what Barnabas had done on the outside. They were even saying all the right things, but their motives were not pure. They were not seeking to honor God, but rather self-seeking. And so right when Ananias would have thought that he was about to get a pat on the back from Peter, Peter said these words, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." And after he'd said these words, Ananias fell down dead right there in front of him. Around 3 hours later, the same thing happens over again, doesn't it? Don't know if Sapphira was called in to talk to Peter. We're not really sure why Sapphira actually came to talk to Peter. But as she came in, Peter gives her another opportunity to tell the truth, to own up and to avoid this judgment. He says, "Tell me the truth, or tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" But she doubles down. She says, yes, that's the price. And maybe it was out of loyalty to her husband, maybe because she knew she'd been caught in a lie. But for whatever reason, Sapphira also, like her husband, lied to Peter and the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, she too fell down dead and was carried out by the same young men who had carried out her husband. Now, not surprisingly, a great fear seized the entire congregation and everyone else in the community who heard about all this. An angry Sanhedrin, up until this point, made up of some of the most powerful and influential religious and political leaders of that day, this angry Sanhedrin had tried to strike fear into the hearts of these believers, but were unable. But as God showed that he would not be mocked by those who pretend to belong to him, but whose hearts have not been changed and made new, well, this great fear seized the entire congregation and everyone who heard about it. So much that we're told in verse 13 that no one dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. No one dared try to put on a facade around the apostles or his people so that they might be thought more highly of. No one pretend to be a follower of Jesus for their own glory. They were too afraid to do that. And so humanly, we might expect that this might detract from their witness in the community, that less people might come to know the Lord. The people would be too afraid to go anywhere near this dangerous and scary God. But then in verse 14, we're told more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, hadn't made it easy for people to trust in him. The apostles, well, they did the same. They hadn't made it easy for these believers to turn to him and follow Jesus. But as the fear of the Lord seized the people, the church continued to grow as the Spirit moved among the people. And as the church grew, well, so did its opportunities for witness. Large crowds brought sick to the apostles in order to have them healed. They hoped that even the shadow of Peter might heal them. Not because Peter's shadow was actually healing them, but because that's as close as they dared to come to one of the Lord's apostles. And as the people brought the sick and the demon-possessed to the apostles, all of them, every single one of them, were healed. These are very sober verses, aren't they? The verses we're looking at this morning are warning all of us that our actions and our deeds might be able to fool others, but they will not fool God. These verses, we're being encouraged to be like Barnabas. He is the example that's put up for us to follow and to avoid being like Ananias. Barnabas was just an ordinary guy whose love for the Lord inspired him to serve sacrificially for God's glory and not for his own. It would have been extremely costly for him to sell this field and to just give it up, to give all of that money up without any concern for his future. But because of his love for the Lord and because his eyes were fixed on a much greater prize than earthly wealth or human praise, Barnabas willingly and joyfully gave to the Lord for God's glory and not his own. Now these verses, I don't think these verses are just speaking about how we give our money, although they do speak into that to some degree. Ananias wasn't judged because he hadn't given the full amount. That's not the message of these verses. He was judged because he had tried to make out that he was giving God everything, that he was committed to the Lord with his whole heart, while he was actually holding back. Ananias wanted the same kind of praise and honor that Barnabas had received. He wasn't really trying to serve the Lord with this offering, even though it would have looked very honorable to everybody on the outside. Instead, he was trying to gain the praise of others for himself. And so Ananias and Sapphira received the judgment that they deserved. Even though they may have fooled many in the congregation, they were not able to fool God. None of us are. God knows the motives of our hearts, while others only see our actions. He knows when we are serving him for his glory and when we've begun to pat ourselves on the back for what we've done. He knows when we're serving him outwardly, but inwardly expecting to receive the honor and praise of others. From a human perspective, the judgment that fell on Ananias and Sapphira seems a bit harsh. But it's the same judgment that will fall on anyone who claims to belong to Jesus, but whose heart has not been changed or made new. Jesus warns us about this in Matthew chapter 7. There he says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" It doesn't matter how impressive our service looks like to others. It makes no difference if we're serving the Lord in ways that no one else notices, or if we're doing it in ways that everyone sees. What matters is the motives of our hearts, that we are serving him rather than seeking others to praise us. These verses are warning us that even though we might be able to put on a good face around others, we cannot hide the motivations of our hearts from God. So these verses are calling us to ensure that our hearts are right with God. Ananias and Sapphira had been included amongst the number of believers, and that should be a shocking fact to us. They'd been worshipping, eating, and spending time with the believers, but their hearts had not been changed. They were not producing the fruit of the Spirit. There was no evidence of the Spirit's work in their lives. Therefore, these verses are warning us that being a member of a church or having a long history with a congregation or even serving in a congregation for many years does not make us right with God. Only way that anyone can be made right with God is through faith in Christ's sacrifice in our place, as his Spirit turns us into new creations. And if the Spirit has made us into new creations, there will be the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So as we reflect on these verses this morning, may we heed this sober warning. May we ask the Lord to forgive us for all those times when we have served him in order to gain the praise of others. May we ask him to help us to serve him sacrificially for his glory and his namesake, so that we might be like Barnabas, known as encouragers in the body of Christ, as we share our whole lives, even our struggles, even the things that we find hard in our walk with the Lord, so that we might encourage each other in our walk with him. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have at times been like Ananias and Sapphira. We have wanted others to honor us. We have wanted others to think well of us. Or if we have at least wanted to hide the things that we are struggling with, rather than sharing them with the body of Christ, so that iron might sharpen iron. Lord, work in each of us. Help us to be so confident in our identity with you that we are not concerned about what others might say about us. Help us to be so confident in the hope we have in you, that we are able to be open and transparent about who we are and about the things we struggle with. Help us to serve you for your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.